Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to James chapter 4. And we're just going to read a few verses today as our text and get into the subject at hand for this morning's message. You'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. James chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 13 and read down through verse 17. And I'll read the odd verses out loud. You can join me out loud on the even verses. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Well, as we look here and we see the text of James chapter 4, we see here that the focus is on our perspective of life. You know, we have a certain perspective in what we consider to be such and so forth, and of course, all of us have goals and dreams and plans, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. But he says in verse 13, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." He says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." And so really the title of today's sermon is just simply, "Tomorrow." Tomorrow. We know not what will be on the morrow. We do not know what tomorrow holds. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. We do not know if we'll see tomorrow, do we? It is a life as a vapor. It does appear for a little time and then vanish away. The admonishment here that is given is in verse 17. He says, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And I'm going to sneeze here in any moment now. I can feel it. Okay, maybe not. But it's right there. You know how that is. It keeps you, captive, held hostage by a sneeze. So, to go with that, Solomon said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, in our lives, I suppose very naturally, we really rely on tomorrow, don't we? I'll do that tomorrow. Or I'll get that done tomorrow. But how many of you are like me and tomorrow never comes? Okay. And so we need to kind of keep in mind not to have a tomorrow mentality as Christians. Because we know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. Don't boast thyself of tomorrow, because you may not have tomorrow. And we need to live in the here and now, if you will. We need to live for today, not for tomorrow. And again, so you have to understand, as a philosophy and as a mentality, although we do need to prepare, right? We do need to do what's right with things in accordance to godly principles. Like, I mean, you shouldn't say, "Well, I might not have tomorrow, so I'm going to spend all my money today." Okay, that's not wise, and that's not what I'm talking about. All right? So, but at the same time, I guess it would be wise, and someone could say that you have a today mentality by saving today for what might be tomorrow. That's a wise thing. Even if tomorrow never comes, what's the harm in that, right? But I want us to, the focus and the thrust of the message today is not to have a tomorrow mentality. We need to have a today mentality, because today is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day
that we woke up and our little eyeballs, or our little eyelids went like this, and our little eyes were opened, and we went, we have today. We may not have the rest of the day. Who knows? I mean, I could drop dead right now, and any of us could, right? That's a possibility. But we don't know what tomorrow may bring, so we need to live for today. God wants us to live our lives, and he says it in verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. He says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I believe we use that verse kind of for a lot of things, right? Just to encourage people to do what's right and to live unto good works, etc., etc. But do you see in the context of it, it's talking about expediency. Not do it later, but do it now. Have a today mentality instead of a tomorrow mentality. How about this area? Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 24. The first area where we need to have a today mentality instead of a tomorrow mentality is in the area of salvation. Do not count on a tomorrow salvation. I'll take care of it tomorrow. Sometimes we'll go out door knocking and we'll talk to people and we'll present the gospel to them and they'll say, well, I'll deal with this tomorrow. I'm too busy right now. And then tomorrow never comes. What a sad testimony. What a sad circumstance. Are you there in Acts 24? Look at verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So we already understand here that Felix has some knowledge of this circumstance and of these things in the position that he was in over the Jews there in Jerusalem. He says, and he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul. So he already knew of these things because she was a Jewish. She was a Jewess. She was of Jewish culture. And so he understood these things. He sent for Paul, and listen to this, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. He was given the gospel. This man not only had an excellent knowledge of the Jewish customs because of his wife, predominantly, I'm sure. And he knew of this matter. He was knowledgeable in this thing. And he said, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to understand all this. He knew about Paul's citizenship. And so he had liberty because that was something that the Romans enjoyed because of their status as citizens. And so, but he understood Paul being a Jew. He got it, folks. And he heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ. Now listen. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. This man's under great conviction. He knows these things are true. And he has heard the gospel witness and he is right there on the brink of a decision. On the brink of salvation. And listen, maybe even more so than Agrippa, which we'll read about in just a few moments. Where Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Felix was trembling. And he certainly had all of this knowledge. He knew it, and he, what did he do with it? This is what he said. And answered, go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. You know what he said? Tomorrow. Tomorrow, Paul. Tomorrow I will hear you. Skip down there a few verses and look at this. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Folks, 2 years of tomorrows, and tomorrow never came. Felix had a tomorrow mentality about salvation. And as far as we know, he never came to Christ. He was convicted. He knew the way was right and true, although we are not ever told that he was converted. Just a few chapters over in Acts 26, I mentioned this about Agrippa. Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all they that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." This day, God wants people to come to Him on His terms. And He presents them with opportunities today. And some do accept Him today. They have a today mentality. But some say tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes. As close as Felix and as close as Agrippa were to the portals of heaven, to our knowledge, they missed it because of tomorrow. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I don't want to be all negative today, and certainly there are times where tomorrow never comes. But I also want to focus on the right kind of mentality, the today mentality concerning salvation. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Aren't you glad you have the story of Zacchaeus in your Bible? Where someone said, "Today is the day of salvation for me, and I'm going to trust Christ, and salvation is coming to my house today." Do you believe that God wants us to have a today mentality? Oh, I do. Concerning salvation, tomorrow may never come. Do not put it off. You remember, in the Old Testament, there was a time of judgment approaching. And for the space of about 120 years, there was a man named Noah, who in 2 Peter, we are told, was a preacher of righteousness. How many people were saved from the flood? 8. Just 8. How many tens of thousands of human beings perished in the flood? Could they have been saved too? They could have. But you know what they said? Tomorrow. But guess when the rain came? Today. In Genesis 7, it says, "And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and in the high hills and that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail. And the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Sad. All because of a tomorrow mentality. Over in Matthew 25, Jesus said this, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And of 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Tomorrow. Do not have a tomorrow mentality concerning salvation. Let me say this too. It is not uncommon to understand that in a church, even like ours, there may be some here that are pretenders. And I'm not trying to get you to question your salvation. But there are some that are already doubting whether or not you're born again. Or you're just unsure. And guess what you keep doing? You keep putting it off until tomorrow. You see, I don't have some kind of device that has a beeper on it. It goes, beep, 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 beep. Beep, 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 beep. Okay. I don't have any kind of device like that that says whether or not someone is born again. But can I tell you something? You know. You know. You say, well, it's just one of those nagging feelings, and the devil's just trying to get at me. And that may be true. The devil always tries to discourage us from being solid in our salvation and being confident and being a bold witness for Christ. But listen to me, folks. The Bible is not ambiguous concerning this thing of salvation. It either is or it isn't. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's cut and dry. It's very black and white. It is yes or no. There is no maybe concerning salvation. And if there is a doubt, talk to someone. Get it settled. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Whether or not you are born again, or you're not born again, or you're not sure if you're born again, don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't have a tomorrow mentality concerning salvation. Because tomorrow may never come. It may never come. Take your Bibles and turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The second thought I had about this tomorrow experience is that of not only tomorrow salvation, but tomorrow sanctification. You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to live a holy and acceptable life today. Today. Not tomorrow. Today. And when tomorrow does come, if it does, we can live it then, because then it'll be today. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. You like that, don't you? I like those plays and games with the words. But he wants us to say, well, I'll get that sin out of my life tomorrow. Oh, I'll make that correction tomorrow. You remember what it said in our text? It was encouraging us not to say that we're supposed to do this today or tomorrow. We will go and continue for a year. He said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. He says, take care of it today. Get it done today. Do right today. Confess your sin today. Be sanctified and set apart today. Are you there in Hebrews 3? Listen to what he says. Wherefore, holy brethren. So who's he talking to? Saved people. Okay, these are people that have accepted a today mentality about salvation. They've been born again. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. All right, we're talking about people rooted and grounded in the faith. Those that are Christians, they're believers in Christ. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as his servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So you see, this is not talking about whether or not you've received Christ as your Savior, but whether or not you're willing to live the Christian life wholly acceptable unto God today. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called tomorrow? No, not tomorrow. While it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, folks, you cannot lose your salvation. But you can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You can backslide. And sometimes that's, in a sense, worse than not being saved at all. You know what that does to other people? It turns them away from the gospel. It turns them away from living a Christian life. Wouldn't you feel just awful at the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment? Someone comes up that you lived a terrible example of the Christian life, and they look at you and said, your example is why I'm here, going to be cast into hell. Wow. Because we have a tomorrow mentality about our sin. A tomorrow mentality about living a holy, separated, sanctified, clean life for God. Hey, listen, I'm for growth. And I know that a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. And I know that there is cleansing required for my sin from a day-to-day basis to remain in fellowship with God. I get it. But don't have a tomorrow mentality about it. Fix it today. Get it right today. Make the corrections today, not tomorrow. He says here, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He goes on, he says, for we are made partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Over and over again, the people of God are told to sanctify themselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. What does that mean? That means prepare yourself today, so God can meet with you tomorrow. Do you notice that in all these cases with Joshua, with Moses, with the people of Israel, over and over again it says, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. So in other words, get holy today so that tomorrow you can be used of God. But we say, well, if God wants me to use me tomorrow, then I'll get right tomorrow. And then I'll be used of God tomorrow. That's not how it works, is it? We need to be sanctified today. Let me throw myself under the bus here, if that's okay. Did you know that your pastor sins? He does. I know him intimately. He sins. He's a sinner, saved by grace. Praise God. But you know what I know in and of myself? There have been times where I knew something was wrong and I chose to do it anyways. I know you all have never done that. I have. Let me tell you something. As soon as I do what I've determined to do, knowing it's sin, knowing it's wrong, I feel awful about it. Immediately. Don't we all? And then something hovers over us and says to us, maybe sits on our shoulder and says, well, God will forgive you. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Come on, y'all been there? And the idea is that, you know, it's okay, and just take care of it later. Do you know what? As soon as we feel that, we need to confess it and forsake it. You say, well, I'll deal with it on Sunday at the invitation. I'll come to the altar and I'll leave it there. What about your closet? Where you meet with the Father in secret. You know, he knows our sin. You know, the longer you wait, the more apt you are to repeat that sin over and over again and continue that cycle. Come on, we've all been there. We go round and round and round and round and round. Why? Because of a tomorrow mentality. Or, hey, you know what? We use grace as a stumbling block. And we keep tripping over it again and again and again. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, we're under grace. So I have an excuse to sin. What does Paul say? God forbid. Grace is not an excuse to just keep sinning and keep sinning and keep sinning. We need to confess it. We need to be sanctified today. We need to be holy, acceptable unto God today, not tomorrow. You know what happens? What happens to us exactly happens what is said here in Hebrews, that sin hardens our hearts if we don't get it right. If we don't confess it and forsake it. If we don't sanctify ourselves today. In Leviticus, Moses told them to sanctify themselves and be holy. And that God said the reason was because God, the Lord God is holy. And He's the one that sanctifies us. 1 John chapter 1, you know these verses probably by heart. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We need to be sanctified today, not tomorrow. We need to be saved today, not tomorrow. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Today, not tomorrow. That's the mentality. We're a peculiar people. We're a holy nation. We're to show forth His praises today with our lives, being a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. A vessel of honor that's sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work today, not tomorrow. God wants to use us, but we need to be sanctified today. So far I've talked about tomorrow salvation and tomorrow sanctification. And one more today. As you look at the text back in James in chapter 4, he ended this a passage here with this thing that we should live and do this or that if the Lord will. And then he went on to say, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. And we are saved not to ourselves, but to Him. Because we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are managers, not owners of this life today. So not only the mentality of tomorrow salvation and the mentality of tomorrow sanctification, but how about the mentality of tomorrow service? Tomorrow service. I'll serve God tomorrow. I'll serve God when it's more convenient. Oh, go take your Bibles and turn over to Luke chapter 12. And let me just say, just like salvation, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. And about sanctification, today is the day to get right with God. About your sin, not tomorrow. And about service, today is the day to serve God, not tomorrow. Because you know what? In all three cases, tomorrow may never come. Or tomorrow might become tomorrow and 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 never today. Are you there in Luke 12? Now there are many applications for this passage of scripture, but I want you to notice at the ending what he says. It says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" So, you've heard preaching on this particular passage many times, I'm sure. But I want you to apply this principle to the tomorrow mentality of service because of what this next verse says. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Are you squandering your talents, your time, and your treasure on yourself, and are like the rich fool and not being rich toward God with what God has appointed to you? In the parable of the talents, the man that was given five served his master faithfully, diligently, efficiently, and wholeheartedly, and earned five other, and was awarded, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The man who was given two did likewise, and earned other two, and was told and commended as well, "Done, thou good and faithful servant." But the one that squandered what he was given was called a wicked and slothful servant. You know, folks, God has created each one of us unique individuals. We all have different talents and abilities. We have different levels of wealth, if you will. But what are you using it for? Do you have a tomorrow mentality about it? Oh, when I get up to this certain level, then I'll serve God with what I have. Or you know what? I'm busy working right now and providing for my family. So when I retire and my kids are out of the house, then I'll serve God. I'll be a Sunday school teacher, and then I'll serve in the church, and then I'll volunteer for this, and because I'll have more time then. Can I say tomorrow may never come? I've heard the personal testimony of a man, a missionary, I forget which one by name, but they gave this testimony that as a young person at a teen camp, they were called to preach. And they ignored the call. Was very successful in the world's eyes, in business. And finally, in his late 50s, early 60s, surrendered to go to the mission field. 30-some years. Now, he's glad tomorrow did come for him. But what a waste. What could God have done in such and such a place in 30 years with that man's life? We'll never know, will we? And neither will he. You know what his only regret is now? That he didn't have those 30 years more to serve God. Hey, I'm just telling you. Don't have a tomorrow mentality about service. Don't be rich towards yourself and not rich toward God. You know what God calls that? Foolish. He calls it foolish. We know that God wants us to live the Christian life now, not later. He called the local church to go out into the world and be witnesses unto him now, not later. He told them to speak boldly now and not later. He told them to live and let their light so shine before men and be the salt of the earth now, today, not tomorrow. God wants us to serve him. God wants us to work for him. God wants us to live our lives for him as we should today, not tomorrow. Over in Matthew chapter 6, he told them, take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Folks, we need to have a today mentality about serving God. Will you serve God today? Or will you continue to serve the flesh and the world and your own desires and the desires of others? Or will you choose to serve God today? Will you be saved today? Will you be sanctified today? Will you serve God today? Or will you do it tomorrow?